Good morning, everyone. Eric Perez, QSI CEO, here again with our ongoing podcast on the issue of vessel monitoring systems, or VMS. Today we have the great pleasure of welcoming Kelly Morgan, who is a retailer, owning multiple retail outlets in Mackay. G'day, Kelly. How are you?
Not too bad, Eric. How are you going?
Not too bad. Just for sake of completeness, Kelly has also been an active member in industry and is currently the secretary of the association. So, Kelly, today is about VMS, obviously. So, first things first, what are your concerns with VMS from a post-harvest point of view?
So from a retailer's perspective, obviously the supply and demand argument comes into that. Based on the VMS and how the impact that it's going to have on the commercial fishing industry and feedback that I am hearing that it will further reduce the amount of fishermen that are actually out there providing seafood to the public, I see that obviously supply is going to decrease and demand definitely is not decreasing. The public still are out there wanting to source fresh local seafood and buy local fish and chips. If the supply is gone, the price obviously you don't have to be a mathematician to work out that the price is obviously going to increase substantially. And it's going to become an unaffordable source of protein for your average mum and dad families.
Okay, so potential price increase going along with potential for less access to local caught seafood is what you're saying. Does that necessarily mean that that space will necessarily get filled up by imported product?
I dare say so, as much as I don't want to say that, but if the demand's there, you've got to source the supply, and it's something it's not an avenue I want to discuss and talk about, but certainly I don't want to go there, but I guess that is what's going to happen. We already do have a very high percentage of imported seafood that is sold throughout supermarkets, restaurants, cafes, etc.
Look, I appreciate your candor on this, Kelly, because one of the things that we're finding with being able to talk to different parts of industry is that we need to let the public know what the consequences are of not being able to source local seafood. And it's interesting that when the association put in its submission around the reform process overall, and I remember we had a conversation about this, that the post-harvest sector has been pretty much missed in terms of a key stakeholder in the process. Without us, you guys can't do what you do. And if there's less of us and we're not able to provide that fresh local product to you, whether it's fish or prawns or crabs or whatever it may be, there's just going to be less availability of seafood for the consuming public, not to mention the double whammy in your part of the world is we've already lost hundreds of thousands of serves of seafood because of the net free zones implementation. So none of this turns up to good news for the future, particularly around purchasing fresh local seafood. So probably the next question to ask is, okay, VMS is not going to be it's going to be potentially an issue for the post-harvest sector. Have you been hearing much from the commercial fishers you deal with about the issue?
I have, Eric, the feedback that I have is obviously not good. A lot of them are saying that they're already pushed to their limits financially. Mentally, the net free zones took a huge toll on industry. VMS is just like another little dirty three-letter word that NFZ and now VMS fishers aren't seeing a long-term future They're not seeing that they're going to still be in the commercial fishing industry once this reform is through. Also, the issue of consultation with commercial fishermen, I believe that the word consultation has been misinterpreted as dictatorship by fisheries and the government. Fishermen aren't being consulted with, or they're being consulted with, but it's just to appease the word consultation, where it's pure dictatorship. You will do this, and this is, you will do this now. This is how you will do it. The issue they've said, there are certain fishermen that are misinformed about VMS and also can't source the stock. The fact that this has been pushed through right before Christmas, whereas you need to be up and running by the 1st of Jan next year, how on earth are you going to get these units supplied and installed when you've got pretty much a shutdown period of any trade and suppliers over Christmas?
No, get out of here. That's crazy talk. So what you're saying is if a VMS unit breaks down on the 1st or 2nd of January, you're going to have dozens of willing technicians to come out to fix the stuff for you?
Probably not.
It's funny. It is funny, and I'm sorry to be facetious because I know that this discussion is an important one, but it's part of this reality check that the department seems to not want to go through, is that why would you implement something that they think is so important? Because it's not about the stocks, it's not about conservation of stock, and it's not about anything other than compliance and monitoring that we're not going into zones that we're not meant to. Interesting take from the department and from this government, considering that there are hundreds and thousands of recreational fishers along the coast that have virtually no monitoring, and where's the push to monitor those recreational fishers in our contested fisheries? But all that stuff aside, the consultation bit is the thing that's been critical and missed in this process. And one would wonder why, and you've made this pretty clear, I guess, is that it's being rushed into the system well before we have any conclusion to the review of our fisheries, which are ongoing at the moment. So those work groups, as far as I understand, are still meeting. There's still work to be done. We could do a whole series of podcasts around how dysfunctional the consultation's been, to the point where the government itself has paid for, I think it's a university in New South Wales, I can't remember offhand which one, to do a review as to how to do consultation better. Industry's told government how to do consultation better, which is having a real discussion around some of these things, as opposed to being talked at and or being listened to but not really being listened to, if you get my meaning.
On board. The people that know the industry the best are the ones who have live and breathe it, and they're not the people who sit in a chair in an office in Brisbane. They're the ones who are out in the ocean. They're the men and women who live and breathe the industry, and they're the ones who should be listened to, and they should be making the decisions, and they know what's best for industry.
So this has been, again, you hit a nail on the head. This has been the problem with this department for a long time, and I'm seriously not having a go at the people that work in there, because how it's been described to me is that Fisheries Queensland is a regulatory agency. It's not an industry development agency, but the unfortunate part about that is everything they do when they re-regulate us, when they introduce things like VMS or implement crappy political policy, which was net-free zones, that it has a impact on the way that we do business. And before Campbell Newman came into power, we had an industry development unit in the department to do that kind of work and to try and marry up the reality of what you guys do as commercial fisher folk, as well as in the post-harvest sector. Now that's gone, it's gone nowhere. It was defunded. And so we've got this disconnect between what the fishermen do and what the policy outcome is going to be. Kelly, look, it's been good hearing your perspective. We also spoke yesterday, and I've shared the link with Dave. Caracciolo around his views, which are very similar to yours. It's interesting that for on many things, harvest and post-harvest sector don't necessarily agree, but on this one, I think we're all in furious agreement that this is not the best way to implement VMS, and industry's been, I think, hard done by in this process, to be fair.
I think they've been treated like criminals, Eric. I really do. And
okay.
You know, it's things that the government can't obviously regulate and monitor the real criminals out there, so they're becoming heavy-handed with honest, hard-working primary producers. And I do believe that is how a lot of commercial fishermen are feeling at the moment, is that they're being treated like a criminal when they haven't committed an offence.
Which is not good to hear. I deal with fisher people all the time, members and non-members. We are hardworking. These are people who have families that they need to bring up, and we saw this kind of angst when the net free zones were introduced, and this is just an extension of that crappy process. We are an industry of human beings, an industry of multi-generational fishers that are trying to provide a product to the general public, and that's becoming more and more difficult to do because we've got short-sighted politicians or government that just don't want to understand what this industry is about. And hopefully we can do something about this. We are trying as an association. I know other industry groups in the States and individual in this state and other individuals are trying to do their best. So Kelly, can I thank you for your time? I know you're busy. We'll continue this podcast on post-harvest issues as well as harvest issues into the future, and hopefully we can talk again.
Okay, thanks so much, Eric. Good to chat with you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening in. This was Eric Perez again for the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, and we'll catch you again on the next podcast.